People in power want you to think there's nothing you can do. Nothing to stop them. But if there's one thing history has taught us, it is the most important office in democracy is not president or even governor. It's the office of citizen. We all have more power than we think. We just have to use it. So if you believe in that better story of America, do not sit this one out. Vote.
Yes, please. Vote. You heard the man. Now's your chance.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
But let's make it better,
and
shall
I'm
we?
Wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, home of the 2-time-in-a-row world champion LA Dodgers, this is the broadcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. Also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, and Columbus, Ohio on WGRN. Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, and Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internet, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. As usual, a whole lot of stuff going on as the federal government shutdown now enters its second month, and by midweek will be the longest federal shutdown in U.S. history, surpassing the previous record holder of 35 days that took place the last time Donald Trump, the great negotiator, was in office, and yes, then also failed to keep the federal government open. The great negotiator continues to refuse to negotiate at all with Democrats who refuse to vote in support of the Trump and Republicans' massive cuts to health care, to the Affordable Care Act, to Medicaid, and yes, to Medicare, that will, among other things, result in monthly premiums more than doubling for those who purchase their health insurance on the Affordable Care Act or the Obamacare exchanges. As I mentioned last week, I've now heard from Covered California myself, that is our version of Obamacare out here in the Golden State, and heard that my premiums, and Desi, I believe yours as well, Desi,
yes.
Dorian's.
Yes, they are. Going to go up.
Going up about 150% beginning January 1, unless Republicans restore the enormous cuts to health care funding that they have instituted, including trillions of dollars over the next 10 years, thanks to the so-called big, beautiful budget bill that Republicans passed on Donald Trump's behalf. It makes historic cuts to government-funded health care across the board in order to at least partially pay for $1 trillion in tax cuts, mostly to rich people, who, by the way, can already afford their health care payments. But cutting health care for those who need it, apparently, that's not enough for Republicans, who also cut $186 billion to SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, previously known as food stamps, for some 42 million Americans, including mostly children, seniors, folks with disabilities, and veterans, including more than 70% of recipients who actually work for a living but still can't afford to feed themselves or their families. And as if the cuts, those cuts weren't bad enough, the Trump administration has now been refusing to fund SNAP at all as of Saturday, with $6 billion in emergency contingency funds, specifically for such a case as a government shutdown, but they say they can't spend it for food assistance, even though Congress said they must spend it for that. Now, two different federal judges have, as of now, ordered them to do so, though on Monday the administration said that they would only make partial SNAP benefits available to recipients and that it may take about 2 weeks for any payments to actually get to those folks. After a three-day trial last week on the legality of Donald Trump's ordered deployment of National Guard troops in Oregon, U.S. District Judge Karen Immergut of Portland, a Trump appointee to the federal bench, issued a preliminary injunction continuing to block the deployment of federal National Guard troops until she issues a final ruling this Friday. While Judge Immergut stressed that the ruling was only preliminary for now, as seen at the trial, the testimony, and the exhibits, the preliminary injunction strongly suggests that once she assessed that evidence in full, she is likely to rule against the administration on both the deployment and the federalization of National Guard for a city that is decidedly not burning down, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies to the American public about that. Judge Immergut had previously issued a temporary injunction blocking the deployment in Portland, but now it's a preliminary ruling, and we will wait for her final ruling later this week. And, of course, there is much more, but as this is election week, don't know if you've heard. You probably have if you listen to the broadcast elsewhere. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It is election week, and the very first time in the second Trump term that voters from several states all at once will finally be able to ring in with their thoughts on how the second Trump term is going. We'll have a continuing focus once again this week on elections in the Trump era from several different angles. Among them, I will welcome calls today from folks in our live Southern California listening area or those listening from anywhere across the world on KPFK's live KPFK.org web stream at 818-985-5735. Write it down on the various contests and issues at stake in Tuesday's November 4 off-year elections, from the very exciting New York City mayoral contests between progressive 34-year-old Democratic candidate Zohran Mamdani and the disgraced former New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo. He is running as a Trump-supported independent after losing the Democratic primary earlier this year. Mamdani is said to be in the lead there. We'll see if that comes to pass on Tuesday. The governor's race, two of them actually, in both the purple but blue-leaning Virginia between former CIA officer and Democratic Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger. She faces off with Republican Lieutenant Governor in Virginia, Winsome Earle Sears. And the state's entire House of Delegates is up for grabs. We'll get to a bit of news on that House of Delegates in a second. And in the Garden State of New Jersey, where Democratic Congresswoman and former Navy pilot Mikey Sherrill, a Democrat, is said to be in a tightening contest with the former state assemblyman Jack Cittirilli, the Republican candidate for governor in Jersey, in what would be the first time in about 60 years that Democrats have claimed the Jersey governor's mansion three times in a row. That is only if, of course, Spanberger is victorious on Tuesday. The full New Jersey House is also up for re-election on Tuesday. And back here at home, of course, just one issue on a statewide ballot, Prop 50, which would temporarily redraw the U.S. House map here in California in order to flip five seats from red to blue. That, in response, direct response to Texas lawmakers kicking off a national gerrymandering war at the demand of Donald Trump by gerrymandering Texas's already gerrymandered U.S. House map to steal 5 seats from Democratic-leaning House districts and replace them with 5 Republicans instead. On that matter, I voted myself over the weekend, along with Desi Doyen, and I have no idea how she voted, by the way.
Of course not. That's why we have a secret ballot.
I might have spied, but I have no idea. But yeah, we voted anyway over the weekend at a voting center here in Los Angeles. Normally, I fill out my ballot at home and then drop it off at the voting center. This time, I actually went out on Sunday and forgot to bring it with me. So we said, okay, well, you can go straight to a voting center, any voting center here in Los Angeles, and vote, even if you've been sent a mail-in ballot, but you haven't sent it back yet. So voted here in L.A., and I was amused and bemused and somewhat confused to see an L.A. Registrar Recorder County Clerk van, an IT support van, in the parking lot at the voting center with Texas license plates on it. That was weird. I took some photos. I shared the story about all of this on Blue Sky over the weekend. If you want to follow me over on Blue Sky, I am the Brad Blog over there. If you want to see some photos of this and get a little bit more skinny. But long story short, I tracked the driver of that L.A. County voting system support van down at the polling place there. By the way, it was packed with excellent, spirited poll workers, I thought, who were very happy to help. Anyway, the guy who was driving that truck, his name was Michael. He was very nice as well. He explained that the county clerk's office, apparently, doesn't have enough vans of its own to use right now. They had $300 million for this brand new touchscreen voting system that I suggest nobody use unless they have to. But apparently they don't have enough for vehicles, so they rented some vehicles for this election, including that one in the parking lot with Texas plates on it.
So everything was okay, right?
At least that's what Michael told me. Yeah, I think everything was okay. He seemed trustworthy. As a matter of fact, he said he thought it was strange, too. He said a bunch of folks, when they saw these vans that they were going to be using that had out-of-state license plates, he thought, well, that's a little weird. In any case, yes, he somewhat eased my concern that the largest voting jurisdiction in both the state and the nation had maybe contracted local election work on a race like this one to a contractor in Texas. That was kind of my concern. That does not seem to be the case. So I'm a little bit more at ease about that. In any event, if you voted in the Prop 50 contest, either at a voting center or, as most do, by mail or by Dropbox, and if you had an experience that you would like to share or a question you would like to ask me or a case you would like to make for or against Prop 50, please do feel free to give me a call, 818-985-5735. As this is our last chance to open the phones before Election Day, I would love to hear from listeners. I'd love to hear your reasons for voting either for or against Prop 50, which is meant to at least partially level the playing field against the Trump Governor Greg Abbott gerrymander and the likely theft of 5 blue seats in Texas because Trump fears that his party will be crushed in next year's midterms and lose their razor-thin U.S. House majority because their positions are so unpopular.
Well, also, remember that what Texas Republicans did in the Texas state legislature was steal seats from minority voters. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's just terrible.
And they didn't put it up to the state voters. This was all done by Republicans. Democrats tried to prevent it from happening by leaving the state to avoid giving them a quorum. Eventually, they were able to get a quorum, and it was passed by just, a few Republicans in the state legislature instead of we the people, as we are at least trying to do it out here in California. So, but I know a lot of people are still against it, and there are good reasons to be against it. I'm certainly against gerrymandering in general, but I would love to hear from you. 818-985-KPFK to make the case either for or against. And I really would like to hear those against arguments because I do hate gerrymandering, but I think it's the right thing to do in this case to fight fire with fire. But I welcome your argument to the contrary on that or any of the other contests and issues on the ballot on Tuesday around the country. These are your public airwaves for now. Please feel free to use them today to share your public thoughts on this week's critical elections. As noted, the first major ones since Trump took office and the last one before we then head into next year's critical midterm election season when every seat in the U.S. House and one-third of the U.S. Senate will be up for grabs, among many other things. So give us a call, 818-985-5735 over your public airwaves. Use them before you lose them more than you already have. We will get to those calls in a bit if you'd like to ring in and queue up right now. Early voting numbers, according to most experts, suggest a turnout bump for Democrats as compared to last November. But I am very skeptical of early voting data for a number of reasons that I don't feel like getting into today. But I prefer to wait until, you know, votes are actually counted, hopefully by human beings rather than computers, before getting too worked up either way. So I'd recommend taking all of the analyses you're hearing out there with a large grain of salt for the moment. But speaking of redistricting and the gerrymandering wars touched off by Donald Trump and the Republicans over the summer, as I went through in detail on one of our shows last week, so far, presuming all of these measures are not blocked by state courts in some way, after the corrupted activist right-wing Supreme Court majority recently held that the federal courts have no oversight of partisan gerrymanders, which are apparently just fine by them, the Texas state legislature created a map to steal 5 U.S. House seats from Democrats next year. California voters are now voting on whether to respond by rewriting U.S. House districts to flip 5 seats from red to blue in this state in response to Texas. Then, Republican lawmakers in Missouri and North Carolina each adopted new U.S. House maps in order to steal 1 Democratic seat in each state next year. And then we got the stunning surprise news just over a week ago from Democrats in Virginia. Even amidst their statewide election that is ongoing right now, even as we speak, news from Democrats in Virginia that they, too, had a plan to respond to the Republican gerrymandering. Like California, Virginia also has an independent redistricting commission, or a bipartisan one, that would need to be set aside in order to pull any of this off. And it's even more difficult to do in Virginia than it is here in Virginia, where the state constitution, the constitutional amendments to change the constitution, those require 2 affirmative votes by 2 successive sessions of the state legislature. So Democrats with the narrowest of majorities in both chambers in the Commonwealth of the legislature there quickly convened a session out of nowhere, kind of, just last week in order to vote on this measure one time so that they can then vote again right after the new legislature is seated in January. And if they vote in favor of it again twice in a row, then they get it to get it on the ballot for voters statewide who have to then approve it. They get the final say whether to write new maps in early spring before the midterm primaries get underway. The scheme in Virginia could end up flipping as many as 3 U.S. House seats from red to blue next year if Democrats can jump through all of the required hoops and then voters decide to play along next year. The legislature was out of session last week when all of this happened, and only the governor, who is currently a Republican, can actually call a special session. But Dems in both the state House and Senate called both chambers back into session themselves using a technical administrative move that, frankly, we'd largely expect only from Republicans, but Democrats did it. They called back the session on the basis that an earlier special session called by the Republican governor, Glenn Youngkin, had actually been left open. They actually left it open a year or two ago, never officially closed it, which allowed the Democrats, therefore, to call both houses back for its reconvening this past week.
It is pretty ingenious, I have to say.
I think so. And guess what? Well, last week they convened, and phase one of the Democratic plan in Virginia has worked so far. On Wednesday, Democrats in the House of Delegates there, where they hold just 51 out of 100 seats, so a 51-49 majority, they adopted the measure in question, 51-42. That sent it on to the Senate in the Commonwealth for passage. And on Friday last week, the Senate also voted, in this case, 21-16, for the amendment as worded, quote, in response to actions taken by another state, placing them one step closer to redrawing Virginia's U.S. House map. Now, again, the measure would need to pass again in the next session, which starts in January, before being approved by voters, which also means that Democrats on Tuesday this week have to keep their slim majority in the House of Delegates in Tuesday's elections. As I said, currently, they've got only 51 seats out of the 100 seats in the House. If they don't keep a majority, well, pretty much the whole plan likely dies right there. Now, before passing the measure in the Commonwealth Senate, Democrats addressed criticism from Republicans who argued that Virginia shouldn't redraw maps in response to GOP-led states. State Senator Mamie Locke, a Democrat, said that if Republicans controlled Virginia, they would have followed an order from Trump to redistrict, quote, quick, fast, and in a hurry, as Trump has told GOP-controlled states to do. And Mamie Locke noted, quote, not one of you would be talking about the sanctity of the bipartisan redistricting commission or the needs of the voters or respect for the will of the people. Instead, every effort will be made to what would be made to carve out as many red seats as possible. That's what would have happened had Republicans controlled the legislature in Virginia. It's hard to argue with her. Senate Majority Leader Scott Surville argued correctly that the U.S. Supreme Court and Republicans of Congress were responsible for this horrific national race at this point, this race to the bottom to gerrymander. Surville said, quote, I would prefer a federal law banning partisan gerrymandering nationwide. But he concluded that, quote, absent those solutions, Democrats cannot allow national Republican leadership to, quote, gerrymander itself into permanent power without taking action. And of course, he's exactly right. Despite the fact that I have spent some 20 years railing against gerrymanders and in favor of a federal law that bans it everywhere, not just in states like California and Virginia, which have bipartisan independent commissions drawing legislative and U.S. House maps, but everywhere. And in fact, Democrats have been trying for years to do exactly that, and Republicans have been blocking them every step of the way. So it's kind of rich to see Republicans out here in California say, oh, no, it's outrageous. We can't gerrymander our state maps here in California. It's outrageous. Can't do that in Virginia. It's outrageous. Is it? Well, then why weren't you supporting those national efforts to have independent redistricting commissions in every state in the union? Why were you blocking that year after year after year? If you got a reason for that, please give me a call and explain. I know we got a lot of Donald Trump supporters out there. We got a lot of Republican folks out there who may or may not have supported Donald Trump, who may or may not be in favor of Prop 50. I'd love to see the phones light up with an explanation. I promise to be nice. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Do you disagree? Do you agree? Why? Last chance to make your case, both here in California and elsewhere before Tuesday's Prop 50 election out here. Republicans in Virginia sued to block the plan in the Democratic plan out there, but a judge declined last week to block the redistricting for the moment. The judge has scheduled a follow-up hearing on a preliminary injunction, however, on November 5, so we'll see how that goes there. But shortly before the House action last week to pass this measure, the judge in Tazewell County, it's a heavily Republican area, the judge rejected a petition for an emergency restraining order to stop the proceedings in the state legislature that the three top Republican lawmakers had filed, arguing that the amendment effort, quote, is unconstitutional because such acts are the usurpations of an illegally constituted body. This in regard to their claim that the state legislature is actually closed, that it can't be carrying out any business at all right now. But defendants don't seek to pass just any act, the Republicans argued without a hint of irony. They seek to strike at the very constitution of the Commonwealth and deprive plaintiffs of their constitutional privilege of participating in redistricting. I'm just curious, were any of those Republicans complaining about what happened in Texas? Did we hear any of that? Did we hear any of those Republicans who are now furious about it coming to their own state complaining about it when five seats were stolen in Texas or in Missouri or North Carolina?
I have heard no complaints from Republicans about when Republican state legislatures do it.
Yeah, it's weird. So remember, the voters, unlike in Texas and Missouri and North Carolina, the voters in Virginia will get to have a say on this constitutional amendment next year before it's enacted, if it gets passed again, if the voters on Tuesday this week give the Democrats a majority in order to allow them to vote on that. So voters have a say in this matter, at least in these states so far, where you're seeing Democrats do this, California and Virginia. The other states? Yeah, not so much. Voters are being cut out of the process entirely. Even as those voters' choices for the U.S. House are being stolen from them, very specifically, on purpose. Democratic House Speaker Don Scott in Virginia called the suit, quote, frivolous. He said it was a clear attack on legislative priority and the separation of powers. Meanwhile, last week, Republicans used procedural maneuvers in the Senate to try to both block the proceedings and to build a record that they find the special session itself to be illegal. Senate Republicans and Republican Lieutenant Governor Winsom Earl Sears in Virginia, she presides over the chamber even as she's running for governor. She tried to shut down the proceedings entirely. That to little avail. In the House of Delegates earlier in the week, Republicans repeatedly argued that Virginia's historic role as the cradle of American democracy means that it should not follow the actions of other states. Quote, two wrongs don't make a right, argued Republican Delegate James J. Leftwich Jr., quote, despite what may be happening on the federal level, he said. Democratic Delegate Marcia Sia Price called that argument, quote, a deafening hypocrisy, adding that, quote, I have yet to see you say anything about what your president has done. Any thoughts on that? 818-985-KPFK is our phone number. And one more here before we head to a break, and hopefully your calls if you want to ring in. And maybe some additional items as well. But if you want to ring in, like I say, now's your time to talk to your fellow Californians, if you are here in California, to hopefully get them to agree or disagree before Tuesday's election, 818-985-5735. As of now, if all of the planned or hoped for redistricting that I've mentioned so far today, if all of that goes through as expected, well, Democrats would actually come out ahead by one flipped seat. If all of this goes through and if voters vote, as people suspect they will, with these new U.S. House maps, as of now, where we are in this gerrymandering war. But Republicans in Indiana are convening a special session after they have been lobbied very hard by Donald Trump and J.D. Vance to steal some seats from that already very red U.S. House map in Indiana. There's also been some pushback from some Republicans in Indiana, I'm happy to say. So we will see how that shakes out in the coming days. But late last week in the state of Ohio, where there had been two contested seats, essentially, for several years, contested districts for several years, for reasons that I'm not going to get into at the moment. But in Ohio, a new U.S. House map drawn by the state's bipartisan redistricting commission approved a new congressional map on Friday, giving Republicans a measured win in the national redistricting battle. The map passed unanimously by the bipartisan commission. It gives the GOP a better opportunity to flip two votes. Now, it doesn't necessarily steal the district from a Democrat and hand it to a Republican. They're still somewhat competitive. Democratic Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur's district, which President Trump won by about 7 points in 2024, it was made even redder with these new maps. And Democratic Rep. Greg Landsman's seat became Republican-leaning, while still likely competitive in 2026 under this newly drawn map. Democratic Rep. Amelia Sykes' district was also made slightly more blue, and some Republican-held seats got nominally redder in this redraw. The congressional delegation in Ohio is currently split between 10 Republicans and 5 Democrats. So a best-case scenario for Republicans under this new map would likely result in a 12-3 breakdown. 12 Republicans, 3 Democrats. Now, Republicans in Ohio, they had reportedly opted to reach this agreement with the commission, with the Democrats on the commission, instead of going through the GOP-controlled legislature to redraw the maps. Had a map been drawn by lawmakers instead of the bipartisan commission, that map would have likely resulted in a 13-2 map, 13 Republicans to 2 Democrats. But everyone chose not to do it. Why? Well, not because the Republicans are so egalitarian in Ohio, but because a potential ballot referendum, a so-called citizens vote, could have blocked citizens veto, I should say, could have blocked the new map's use for 2026. So this way, the Republicans can ensure that they have a better chance at winning at least 2 seats rather than taking a chance of having to stick with the same map. So it is bad for Democrats, but it is not as bad as it could have been. Congresswoman Kaptur, who has represented her Northwestern Ohio district since 1983, she lambasted what she called, quote, one-party rule Columbus in Ohio, blaming, quote, self-interested politicians for cutting side deals in order to advance their own agendas. Quote, let the Columbus politicians make their self-serving maps and play musical chairs, she said in a statement posted to social media, vowing to run again next year despite the changes to her district. She said, quote, I will fight on for the people and ask the voters for their support next year. National Democrats praised the Democrats on the commission in the Buckeye State for making the best out of a bad situation. Eric Holder, the chair of the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, the former attorney general, said in a statement, quote, as the White House has pushed for attacks on our democracy in state after state, Ohio's Democratic legislative leadership has fended off the most extreme scenario in the Buckeye State, though he notes there is substantial work to do. He said this imperfect map allows sitting Democrats to continue to compete in all of their existing congressional districts. So it's still a win, yes, for Republicans, but again, not as much as it might have been. Illinois, meanwhile, may be convening to draw a new map in order to flip a seat from red to blue on that state's already gerrymandered Democratic-leaning map, as there are several other Republican states still considering doing all of this before next year. And, of course, if the corrupt U.S. Supreme Court, as expected, ends up giving the okay to racial gerrymandering, not just partisan gerrymandering, but racial gerrymandering next year, by gutting what is left of the Voting Rights Act in time for next year's primaries, well, if that's the case, well, then, frankly, all bets are off, because we'll have dozens of GOP-controlled states that are already preparing to kill majority-minority House districts, U.S. House districts, that are currently in place to ensure that Black, Hispanic, other minority voters have the ability to elect a representative of their choosing. But Republicans are salivating to get rid of all of those districts just as soon as they get the okay from the U.S. Supreme Court. Like I said, if that happens, all bets are off next year. So, yeah, none of this is over still by a long shot. We will continue to report on the gerrymandering wars. None of this is over, no matter what happens on Tuesday. But finally, voters begin to ring in above and beyond the smaller special elections that we've had around the country throughout the year. Now we're going to see actual complete states voting. So if you are in our live Southern California listening area, listening anywhere over our web stream at kpfk.org, now is the time for you to make your case for or against Prop 50 here in California, or for or against any of the other races taking place anywhere else across the country on Tuesday. 818-985-5735 is my number. 818-985-KPFK. We are America's soapbox today, so if you want to use it, step right up. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to the Bradcast.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and the Bradcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Let's face it, our country and our politics are in a pretty dark place right now. It's hard to know where to start, because every day this White House offers up a fresh batch of lawlessness and recklessness and mean-spiritedness and just plain craziness. We got a president who thinks it's okay to use the Justice Department to go after his political opponents. Hey, wait, don't boo. Vote. They don't hear boos, they hear votes.
Right, you're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say.
You do.
Right. You're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. As we went to the break, breaking news from CNN. President Trump has apparently urged voters, New York City voters, to vote for Governor Andrew Cuomo in the city's mayoral race on the eve of the election, making his endorsement of the guy who used to be a Democrat, used to say he was a Democrat, making his endorsement of Cuomo official over the Democratic candidate, Zorin Mamdani. Let's get to your calls, 818-985-5735. Let me go to Steve in Venice. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Bradcast, sir. Did you vote in Prop 50 yet?
I did indeed, yes.
Yeah, did you vote? You want to say whether you voted for or against it?
Well, I just felt that if the only way to stop Texas from, you know, doing what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it brings to mind a question. I had thought somewhere in American history somewhat like the Tammany Hall scandal, mm-hmm. that there was some incident where gerrymandering was first named. I mean, I thought that gerrymandering was a pejorative term.
Yeah, it is. It is a pejorative term.
Okay, and then, so did Congress not act, or somebody act to make it actually illegal? Somewhere in the history?
It is illegal. For example, it's illegal here in California. We have an independent redistricting commission. But nationally, only the Voting Rights Act was actually able to make a dent in gerrymandering of various types. But there were, there were challenges to various U.S. House maps until just a few years ago, and the U.S. Supreme Court jumped into the case, the corrupted right-wing activist U.S. Supreme Court, and said, you know what?
Right.
Federal courts have nothing to do with partisan gerrymandering. We can't stop it. You're welcome to do it. Only states have the right to say whether their politicians can, map themselves into forever power. So that's where we are.
Well, that's a gaffe if there ever was one.
Well, and it's on purpose. This is what Republicans want to do. Yeah. Democrats have been trying to pass a federal law specifically on gerrymandering to leave it to independent commissions. Republicans mm-hmm. have stopped it year after year. And by the way, it's quite unusual for them to do it in the middle of the decade. Usually they do their gerrymandering and Democrats will do their gerrymandering in those states that allow it. Right after the census every 10 years. To do it in the middle of the decade is outrageous, and that's why the Democrats are pushing back here in California. So there's your explanation.
That's wacky. Yep. Is there any kind of a movement to declare it against the law,
racist? Well, that's a racial gerrymander, and that is prevented by the Voting Rights Act. However, the Supreme Court just heard a case on that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it is expected they're going to gut the part of the Voting Rights Act that also prevents racial gerrymandering as well. That's why I said all bets are off. We might be screwed no matter what happens, no matter what the voters do out here in California and elsewhere. Got it, Steve?
I see. Yes, thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you for voting. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Let's go to Randy in Huntington Beach. Hey, Randy.
Well, good morning.
Good afternoon, sir. How can I help you today?
Well, I want to bring in a little bit of sunshine to the conversation. You may recall that once upon a time there was a survey that showed that once 3.5% of the people in a community voted or got behind a concept, they were able to bring about change.
Well, not voted, but 3.5% of the people carrying out sustained protest over a long period of time, that in fact leads ultimately to change.
Well, I read a YouGov survey over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you guess what percentage of the YouGov survey people, and they claim it's a stratified representative sample, mm-hmm. participated in a No Kings protest.
What percentage? I think I saw some numbers on that, but I can't remember. I want to say it was something like 1.5% or 2%, but maybe you can correct me on that.
Oh, no, that's low. It's 8%.
8% participated in the No Kings rally a few weeks ago?
Yes. That knocked my socks off to have that kind of participation. Now, I've been involved in the No Kings protests.
Yeah.
And in the first protests, I found it was surprising that there were so many old people out in the streets. And the last one, I was blown away at how many families with young kids were out in the streets. I mean, 4 or 5 8-year-olds were out there figuring that this was an important day and they should get involved.
Yep.
So if we get involved in the election process mm-hmm. and vote and put people in office, we're going to win. There's just no way around it. And our only real enemy, of course, gerrymandering is an enemy, but I mean, apathy is a big problem.
Yes.
We have to get out.
Yes. We are our own worst enemy. And when I say we, I mean, whoever it is, if we want change, you can sit home and you can say, oh, they're all terrible. I hate all of the both parties suck. Okay, fine. You're taking yourself out of the game. Show up and vote for a third party if you want, but show up. Make your voice heard. Whether it's an election like we have in California here with one item on the ballot or, you know, the entire House of Delegates in Virginia, show up. Make your voice heard because I guarantee you the bad guys really, really don't want you to vote. And
just one more ray of light before I go.
All right, thank you.
You may recall in the 60s and 70s, there was a great deal of protest as well. And as a result of that, we had a huge number of people who were protesting and getting involved in the elections. And you got the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act and at least another 8 or 9 pieces of significant legislation that came about because people got involved.
Yep.
And we've fallen asleep the last 40, 50 years. You know, people just haven't been involved because government hasn't been offensive.
Yeah.
Well, this is the most offensive regime we've ever had in the history of the United States. And it's a really good time to rally.
Yeah, and you get the idea that some people think that change should happen overnight. Oh, we don't like this. We don't like this policy, whether it's a Democratic policy or a Republican policy. We don't like it. Therefore, it changes immediately. No, it doesn't. We did have a Democratic president for the last 4 years, did a lot of really good, important stuff. There was a lot more that they could have and should have done. But they were blocked by a couple of nominal Democrats from passing a bill in the Senate, for example, to make gerrymandering unlawful in all 50 states. And that was stopped by two supposed Democrats, neither of whom are Democrats anymore in the U.S. Senate. So change takes a long time. Just ask folks in the civil rights movement, as you said, of the I would go to, you know, to the 40s, 50s, 60s and so forth. Ask them how long it takes. And yes, it is exhausting, but we got to keep doing it. Hey, thanks, Randy. Yeah,
sure.
I appreciate your call, my friend. Thanks. Give us a call soon. And 818-985-5735. Let me go to Al. Oh, good. Al in Los Angeles. Hey, Al, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Listen, I think the end does not justify the means. As a matter of fact, you really can't have a discussion with somebody who's unprincipled.
Okay. So what's the end of what and the means of what? What are we talking about? Prop 50?
Yes.
Are you against Prop 50?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Because I don't think gerrymandering is a very principled thing to do in a democracy.
Did you? And I agree with you. I don't think it is either. And you don't have to answer this question or not. But are you? Did you vote Republican last time in the presidential election? No, did you vote Democrat or third party or something last time?
Yes, I voted for Biden. Okay. Much to my chagrin.
Wait, you voted for Biden last year?
Yeah, just not to have that.
Whoa. All right, we got him cleared. Sorry, brother. I would have loved to have talked to you, Al, but we got to let you go because... Oh, there we go. Because you used a forbidden word. What I was going to point out is, first off, Joe Biden did not run last year. It was Kamala Harris, so it's questionable whether he actually voted Democratic or not last year. But because of what he said, we had to let him go, which is a shame, because I really wanted to hear his argument against Prop 50. His argument, as he stated it there, is essentially that, two wrongs don't make a right, that the ends don't justify the means. That would normally be true if we were not talking about control of the U.S. Congress and the ability to put any brakes whatsoever on the Trump agenda. That would also be even more true if Republicans hadn't done it first. If Republicans, looking down the barrel of the midterm elections gun, said, you know what, we're going to lose next year. Let's steal it in advance. So sure, we could all sit on our hands and say, it would be wrong to respond in any way, shape, or form because gerrymandering is wrong. We could do that. But if you haven't noticed what's going on in our country, the fate of this nation itself, the fate of democracy, the fate of the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, frankly, the fate of the planet is now at stake. That's what we're talking about. So we could stand on principle and say, oh, two wrongs don't make a right. Let's, you know, throw our country over a cliff, throw our Constitution over a cliff, throw our planet over a cliff that is already falling over, by the way. Or we could take action and say, no, not on my watch. And I think that's what a lot of voters out here in California are doing. But we will find out. On Tuesday night or in a month or so thereafter as votes are counted. 818-985-5735. By the way, if you're not registered to vote, I think I know L.A. County and I'm pretty sure the entire state has same-day registration now. So if you haven't voted yet, if you because you're not
in
registered
California.
In California, you didn't therefore receive a ballot in the mail, you can go to any voting center, sign up to vote. To become registered to vote and vote on that same day. Let me go to Hal in Huntington Beach. Hey, Hal, welcome to the broadcast, sir. Oh, Hal? There we go. Go ahead. Now yes. I can hear you. Yes.
Have you seen all the dissatisfied people in the red states? They're all, you know, like the farmers in Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. No.
Brazil and Argentina.
I did a story on the show last, I think it was on Thursday, on Thursday's broadcast, about how Donald Trump is now underwater in 12 states that he won last year. Seven yeah. swing states and five other states, including Florida, Ohio, I think it's Ohio, Idaho, Texas. He's underwater in Texas. So, yeah, a lot of Republicans not very happy with them, with him. But, you know, your point, Hal?
So I think you're right, and they know they're going to lose. So we have to ensure that there's no voter suppression and the votes get counted over in these red and swing states properly.
Yep. Oh, also the blue states as well. You know, you can be an observer at the polls. They always need poll workers. Everybody has to keep an eye on this. This is a participation sport, as my friend Tom Hartman likes to say. But we have to be all in and oversee our elections. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, this is our moment. And one other thing we could do to show that we're not going to be held down anymore, all the Pacific states on Pacific time, we should say we're not going to be held down, and we're going to keep the we're not going to swing back to daylight savings. We're not going to spring forward. We're just going to stay on this fall back, and we're not going to be manipulated anymore.
Okay, but you and I are going to have to work that out because we're going to, if we're going to stick on any one clock, it's going to be on daylight savings time. We're not going to stick on standard time. I'm just saying.
Okay, one or the other, but we should just say no more.
See how
we're not going to be.
And see how we agree already? How easy that was, Hal, you and I, that we've worked out our differences? That's what we need to do in this country. Thank you, brother. Appreciate the call. 818-985-5735. Let me go to John. There we go. John in Van Nuys. Again, where's all the ladies at? Well, next week, I guess. John in Van Nuys, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey. I mean, this is quite a mess. This is quite a mess. Isn't there a simple solution to this? Why can't the House just make a rule? I mean, we can't have a constitutional amendment, but why can't the House just make a rule saying this House will not seat any members elected by mid-decade redistricting?
Well, for one, the Republicans control the U.S. House right now, so they certainly
But all the Republicans in California don't want to, you know, see this happening, and they've proposed that, you know, that this be forbidden. And what, you know, the Republicans in Virginia will be in the same position. And how many votes do we need?
Well, first... You can't do that. You need three, but you can't do that until Democrats have control of the House. You can't even continue to. You can't even begin to think about that. That said, there's also gerrymandered seats in Illinois and elsewhere. What? Why?
Yes.
Well, because they don't have. the power to pass such a law, and I don't think it would be constitutional for that matter to do that in the pass a rule in the U.S. House to do that. But, you know,
the House governs the seating of its own members. And
true.
We only need, you know, the Democrats plus some of the jeopardized Republicans to support this.
So you're going to not seat Congress members who were completely legitimately elected in their states, but because you decide you don't like the way they redistricted, you're going to just keep them from being seated in the House?
Because the redistricting is not legitimate in the middle of a decade.
Okay. Well, I like the argument. I see some problems with it. If I wasn't up against the back of the clock here, I might talk to you more about it. But let's keep it in mind. I think we would run afoul. We would run into a number of problems. But I'm certainly happy to think about it. And John, it is ideas like yours, thinkers like yours that keep me going. So thank you, brother. Appreciate
that. Well, thank you.
Let's ponder that.
Thank you.
I'm not going to give out the number because we only got time for. Do we have time for one more? Yeah, we'll give you one. It's got to be quick. James in Chino, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi.
Hi, James.
This is Jim.
Oh, Jim.
This is James from James King. Hey, dude, late to supper, brother. What you're talking about not voting?
Yeah.
That's a vote for Trump.
That's a vote for Trump, even when he's not on the ballot. He can't hear.
Oh,
me.
I'm just saying in general because you mentioned about that.
Yeah.
If you vote for a third party, guess what? That's another vote for Trump.
Okay. Did you vote in Prop 50, James?
Huh?
Did you vote in Prop 50?
I'm going tomorrow to vote. I like going to the poll and vote myself.
I hear you.
Down the street.
You for it or against it?
I'm for it.
Okay, go get him, James. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it, brother. Thanks to all of you for calling in. Apologies to anyone who I could not get to or who I screwed up, hung up on, as I tend to do. You know me. Greatly appreciated. Thanks as well to our producer, Desiree Doyen. Thanks, Des. To our board operator, Wendell Handy. And, of course, to all of you for making us a part of your day, morning or night. It's always appreciated, always an honor. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, you can download it for free anytime at bradblog.com. Drop me an email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. Always good to hear from you. You can also find me on the social medias where I am the Brad Blog, especially over at Blue Sky. We will see you there. Until we see you here next time tomorrow, Election Day. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.